We will be reading from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Again, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Well, last Sunday for Easter, we read the story of the resurrection from the first part of Matthew 28. And some days after Jesus had risen, he met with his disciples in Galilee and gave them what we call the Great Commission, which Anna Grace just read for you a moment ago. You know, I've noticed something over the years, though. We use the word Christian all the time, don't we? I mean, it's a label that we proudly wear. We're Christians. And it's sort of default what followers of Jesus are called. But when you read the New Testament, you know, from Matthew to Revelation, that's not actually the word that Jesus or the gospel writers use to call themselves. You know what word they use? Disciple. Disciples. They use that word over and over again. In fact, here's something that really surprised me when I started looking at it. The word disciple is used 269 times in just the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. That's what followers of Jesus have been called from the very beginning, or disciples. That word Christian, guess how many times it shows up in the New Testament? 3 times. 3 times. Which, you know, when you think about it, that makes you stop and ask, you know, what if we've been using the right label but missing a deeper calling? I mean, we are Christians, but being disciples is a little different. And that's what started hitting me this week whenever I'm studying this passage. You see, after the resurrection, before Jesus ascends into heaven, he gathers his followers and he gives them this final mandate, this central assignment that has always been true, even to today. And what was the command that Jesus gave us? To go make disciples. Not just be disciples, but make disciples. And here's what I want you to see today. The command that Jesus gives to go make disciples, it comes with a promise that changes everything. Now, if I were to ask you to define disciple, which we do a lot of times in small groups and things, we say, okay, let's get all on the same page. What is a disciple? And if I were to ask this room this morning to come up with a definition for a disciple, most of you could give me a solid answer on that. And you'd say something like this probably. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus in order to become more like him. Right? I mean, that's what a disciple is all about. You know, electricians have disciples. Plumbers have disciples. Doctors have disciples. We use a different word a lot of times in our culture today. We call them apprentices. But that's what a disciple is. It's someone who is learning under someone else so that they can do what they do. And you know, giving that kind of definition, having that kind of understanding is great. You're on the right track. But here's where I got challenged this week. I've been reading a book that I picked up at a conference a few weeks ago called Discipleology. And it's written by a guy named Peyton Jones. And in the book, he talks about how there are two words that we tend to use interchangeably to mean the same thing, but they don't. And one is discipleship, which, you know, you ask the church, do you do discipleship? Do you have a discipleship ministry? Yes, of course. That's what we're all about. Jesus said, make disciples. You see how I just did it? We use those words interchangeably. But discipleship is very different from disciple making. And this is what the church in our day and time is starting to wrestle with. Now, let me distinguish the two real simply for you. Discipleship is about me growing in my faith in Christ. It's about my spiritual growth. But disciple making is about me helping someone else to follow Jesus. You see the distinction? One is inward, the other is more outward. Discipleship is what happens as we mature in our faith. It's about maturity, learning scripture, praying, growing in community. This is what the church does inside these walls. Discipleship. Disciple making is about disciples of Jesus being mobilized in order to come alongside someone else to help them to follow Christ so that they can grow in a relationship with Jesus. That's stuff that primarily happens outside of the church. And somewhere along the way, we got really, really good at one of those, but not the other. Guess which one? Now listen, I love a good small group. I love small groups. You know, I go down the hallway after service here in our Sunday school classes, a meeting, and one of them has great cookies and snacks. And occasionally they'll grab me when I walk by the hall and tell me whose cookies they've got in there that day. So I stop by and I grab one for each hand and continue on down the hallway, get ready for the next service. I love small groups in Sunday school. I've had some of the best conversations of my life sitting around the table, drinking a cup of coffee, just having conversations about life, about the Lord. Y'all, that's discipleship stuff. And that stuff matters in the church. It's very important. But let's be honest about what that actually looks like. You know, we gather with people for discipleship who generally already believe in Jesus, right? We study something together, maybe a book of the Bible or something, some Christian literature. We talk about it. We pray. And then we go home. And that's good. But if we're not careful, we become great at being Christian consumers. And not so great at doing what Jesus mandated us to do in Matthew 28. Think about it this way. What do we spend the majority of our time doing? Discipleship stuff or disciple making? That's a question I'm asking myself. But let's go back again to the words of Jesus for just a moment. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jacob and I were having a conversation about this verse this past week. You know there's only one verb in that verse in the Greek language? One verb. You know what the verb is? Make disciples. Everything else in that verse is a participle in the Greek. which means it is explaining what you do when the verb is taking action. The going, the baptizing, and the teaching is all relating back to, you remember in your English class when you have to draw the arrows back to the verb? Well, everything is centered around disciple making. Notice what Jesus lays out here. He says, go. And as you go, make disciples, baptize, and teach obedience. Y'all, when you think about that list, that's not just maturing people who already believe, is it? But that's mobilizing people to reach people who don't yet know Jesus. That's movement. That's mission. And that's stepping outside of walls and comforts. Y'all, this is where it gets real for us. Because most of us, we hear that and we think, well, I don't know enough to be a disciple maker, to help someone else along their journey. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I can't answer their questions? What if I mess up? Y'all, I've had those same thoughts. Someone asked, we were talking this a few minutes ago before coming out here, I was putting a robe on. And I said, well, you know, I've been doing this for 27 years this summer. And I told him, I said, I still don't have it figured out yet. You know, there are moments where I think, am I really the person to do this? And maybe you felt that way too. But guess what? There's a shift in this verse. Because Jesus doesn't just give us a command, he also shares with us a promise, doesn't he? He says, go, make disciples, baptize, teach them obedience, and then what? And I am with you always. You see, there is a promise connected to this commandment. And I don't want you to miss that. You see, the mission of Jesus is never separated from the promise of Jesus. Maybe you've heard it said this way. The Lord never asks us to do something he doesn't equip us to do. You are not sent out alone. I'm not sent alone. Y'all, we are not carrying the weight of this. You are not responsible for the outcomes. But you are simply stepping into what Jesus is already doing. It's the Lord who wants to make disciples. That's his mission. He shares it with us and say we have a role to play. But he also promises his presence and his power to do it. So let me give you just three simple things to hold on to with this. Okay? The first is, you're not alone. We're not alone in this work that God has called us to do. Wherever we go, wherever you go, your workplace, your neighborhood, your family, Jesus is already working there. His grace goes before us. Number two, you are not responsible for the outcomes. You don't save people. Jesus saves people. You don't change hearts. That's God's job to change hearts. number three, you are invited into something bigger than yourself. It isn't about you having all the right answers. It's about you being available. And if God wants to use you to share encouragement with someone, you're willing to do it. You're not alone. You're not responsible for the outcomes. And you are invited into something bigger than you. Does that just take a little bit of the weight off your shoulders like it does mine? And as I have lived into this, you know, I sit with people sometimes and I'm like, what in the world am I going to say? How am I going to pray in this situation? What am I going to do? I got one of those phone calls this week. Crisis in a family. And I'm just listening. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say? And a lot of times, the words just come together. Now, I've got a lot of years of experience and some wisdom, and you do too. And the Lord uses that stuff to help people along their journey, finding Christ in the crisis, as one of the old evangelists used to have a radio program called that. Christ in the crisis. I loved it. That's what we're called to do. So maybe when you hear that, go make disciples of all nations. Boy, it's like, bing, 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 all nations. That feels overwhelming. How in the world are we going to do that? But I want to invite you to think a little different about that. Don't start there. Let's try starting right here. Start with the people that are right around you. Your neighbor. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know what their needs are? Do you know their life story? Your coworkers? Do they share things with you? Do you offer encouragement to them? Your family members? When's the last time you invited your family to church? So that they might hear something that would speak to them. Or that friend that you talk to every day on the phone. Many of y'all are doing these things. Start small, one conversation, one moment, one step of obedience. And if you're sitting there thinking, okay, all right, Jimmy, but how do I actually do this? Well, I want to help you. There's a simple resource. There's a little book that I found, a little pamphlet. It's called BLESS. It's an acronym, B-L-E-S-S. And it's incredibly practical. It's simple ways of how to begin engaging people already in your life and walking with them toward Jesus. If you want a copy of that, you just email me or tell me, and I'll get it to you. Because I don't want you to figure this out on your own. And at some point, maybe the summer or early fall, I want to be able to offer some Sunday school literature and small groups that can look at this very practical way to live out the Great Commission. Now, some of you are waiting to get off the pew and into the game, so to speak. You're waiting until you feel ready. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to take on this mandate of Jesus in my life the way that I feel like He wants me to. Let me encourage you. Don't wait until you know more, or you feel confident, or you feel perfectly equipped. But what if the only thing you really needed to do was to trust that God is already with you. Jesus never said, "Go, guys, when y'all get it all figured out." That's not what he said to his disciples. He said, "Go, and I'll be with you, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And the Spirit will lead you to do the mission that I've called you to do. I'll be with you." And so this week, I want to encourage you to take a step. Start small. One name, one conversation. Because the same Jesus who gives us this command, this mandate, the Great Commission, is the one who walks with us in fulfilling it. The mission of Jesus is not carried out by your strength. It is sustained by his presence. And he has already promised, "I am with you always." Let us pray. Jesus, you have called us to go. You promised to be with us. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've held back, when fear, doubt, comfort kept us from stepping out to participate in this one mission that you've given us to do, to make disciples. And that calling is our call. And today, we want to say yes again to that calling. May you give us eyes to see the people around us. Give us courage to take the next step. And help us to trust, Lord, that as we do, we know you're already working in that relationship. We don't go alone because we know you're with us. So lead us this week. Surprise us with that one conversation, that one person that you lay upon our hearts, that one act of obedience that can help someone along their journey toward a relationship with you. Mobilize us to be disciple makers. For it's in your name we pray. Well, thank you for joining us in worship today. I hope you have a great week and a great day. I want to leave you with a benediction. So may you go in peace, and may you go with purpose. You have purpose today. And wherever you go, I want you to remember this promise that Christ is with you. He goes before you. He works through you so that together we may accomplish the commission. To go and make disciples. And may God bless you and me as we live out this calling with his promise. He'll be with us. God bless you.